Last week, we opened this series, and I don't know exactly how we're going to get where we're going, because it's something different every week. It's coming up. I mean, there's a plan, but it may change. It didn't for the most part, because I even told you last week kind of where I was going to start. But we are going to start Hebrews chapter 5 in verse 12. And we're going to look at that section of scripture, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, through chapter 6, verse 6 is what we read at the end of last week. I'm not going to touch all of that today, but we will, over the next couple of weeks, at least break that down. Today, next week, probably not the next, because I think Blake's already got a sermon in the works or prepared. So if I don't get done next week, I'll just pick it up the next week and we'll move on that way. But I do want you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. We're going to look at that. But remember last week where we talked about the cornerstone being the foundation? And as we come into this and we talk about this and we look at this, I want to remind us of a verse out of 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3 says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." So that's a verse that means something to us for today's scripture as well. And as we look at this and start to break things down and start to really get into what it means to be a Christian, last week I hopefully answered the question of what is Christianity. This week, I want to talk about the milk or the meat. And so we're going to talk about that. Hebrews 5, 12 through 14 is the verses that we're going to use for today. But before we get there, I just want to say this. There's nothing more precious than a newborn baby. Am I right? For the most part, everyone in here would agree with that. And I mean, I don't care if you don't like kids at all. There's something about a newborn baby where you just kind of, even for a moment, you know, you get all goo goo gaga with them, and you talk to them. And Jordan's sitting back there smiling. She knows what I'm talking about. But there's something about a newborn baby. I mean, there's just something about a newborn baby that everyone really gets excited about, right? And so as we think about that, and then we think about this reference point that we see, what we find is it's the same way with the Lord every time a new convert happens within the church. When somebody comes out of a life of sin into their Christian walk, the church gets excited, the Lord gets excited, you know, because these are the ways, I mean, this is the things that we talk about, right? These are the things you hear in the church. And we talk about a celebration when one comes home. So as we think about that today and we start to look at this and how this works, this is where we're going to go. We're gonna work our way through that. But, I mean, when we look around the church today, and I'm not necessarily talking about just this church. I'm talking about the church in general. When we look around the church today, we're going to find all walks of life. We're going to find all walks of spiritual life. We're going to find the newborn babe all the way up to the elder who's seasoned and a veteran of the church who is well-grounded and well-versed in the scripture. We're going to find those that are on the milk and those that are on the meat. We're going to find a broad spectrum of those folks within the church today, right? I mean, if we look around the church, we know who's young and who's not. But as we talk about this today, I'm going to take a different approach on some things, and we're going to look at some things in maybe a health. I'm going to compare it to health issues that we face as well. So we'll look at that as we get there. But where we're starting here is this. In every stage of growth, both physically and spiritually, we start to see those things happen. We start to see these things take place. And what we need to realize is a newborn baby cannot communicate very well, right? I mean, how long does it take for a child to actually ask for what they want you know, I mean, it's at least a year before a child's really even starting to speak. Maybe even 2 years before, 2 or 3 years before they're starting to put sentences together.
Obviously, you've never been around children.
I have been around children.
Well, babies, if they want something, they get their message across.
Oh, I'm sure. But they have to words. They have to figure out how to communicate.
Cry.
And you have to figure out how they're doing it. Yeah, they'll cry. But which cries which, you know?
You figure it out.
And that's what I'm saying is the communication factor. They will try to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
It's our taking in that communication.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the words.
Nope. They don't.
So I'm not trying to say that I'm an expert by any means. No, that is not where I'm going with this. What I'm saying is until they're 3 years old, they can't actually say the words, hey, will you bring me that over there?
Right.
So, all right. So as we go to that point and, you know, you start to get into this whole thing, I got to thinking about the show that used to come on. What is it? Kids Say the Darndest Things.
Well, not that.
And the reality of the humor, but also the truth that's in some of those things that those kids say. You know, I remember, okay, I don't remember this. I think I've seen a video of it. Art Linkletter asked kids asked kids what some Sunday school classes, what they had learned in Sunday school class. Do anybody remember seeing this?
I don't want to.
And then you get the answers, and I'm going to read through some of these answers because this is going to be a Bible lesson for you, and to some of you it might be new material because you've probably never heard it quite like this. The first book of the Bible, Genesis. God got tired of creating the world, so he took the Sabbath off. Adam and Eve were created from an apple tree. Noah's wife was called Joan of Arc. Samson was a strong man who let himself be led astray by a Jezebel like Delilah. Samson slayed the Philistines with the Acts of the Apostles. Moses led the Hebrews to the Red Sea where they made unleavened bread, which is bread made without any ingredients. These are kids' answers. And the sad part is some of these are probably because of how they've been taught, just so you know. The Egyptians were all drowned in the desert. Afterwards, Moses went up on Mount Sinai to get the Ten Amendments. The first commandment was when Eve told Adam to eat the apple. The fifth commandment is to humor thy father and mother. The seventh commandment is thou shalt not commit adultery. So it's not commit, it's admit, right? Moses died before ever reaching Canada. Then Joshua led the Hebrews in the Battle of Jericho. The greatest miracle in the Bible is when Joshua told his son to stand still and he obeyed him. I have a feeling that one was actually used by a parent and that kid was actually telling the story exactly how they were told. Joshua chapter 10 is not Joshua telling his son to stand still. He's telling the son to stand still, and it does. The people who followed the Lord were called the 12 decibels. The epistles were the wives of the apostles. One of the apostles was St. Matthew, who was by profession a taxi man. So, somebody got that one right. I mean, here's the thing. I could go on and on. That's just some of the answers that kids learned in Sunday school. Folks, let me just say this. I was at my sister's house. This wasn't even too long ago. We're sitting there. We're just talking. All of a sudden, my nephew walks up and says, I'm sorry that you have to leave. I look at him. I'm like, no, I'll stay as long as you want me to. He goes, no. He said, I'm sorry that you have to go. I was like, oh, I have to go? He goes, yes. He says, you can stay another couple minutes. I'm like, okay, that's fine. I looked at the time and figured, well, it's getting a little later, so yeah, it makes sense. He's wanting to go to bed. Not 2 minutes later, he looks at me and goes, Uncle Peebo, your time here is done. I just sat there. I was like, all right. Well, he goes, I will walk you to the door. I mean, these are how kids operate today. They will be honest. They will be open. And sometimes they will hurt your feelings. in the sweetest of ways. And they will also let you know what you've been teaching. Folks, these lessons that these kids learned came from their listening. Now, sometimes they may have been told a story, misunderstood the words. I mean, we can talk about that one all day long. But Sunday school today really led into where we're going with today's message. And the thing is this is how it is. Kids say the funniest things, but folks, kids say things that they think they've heard. They try to go through this. Well, we're the same way when it comes to our Christian walk. We are the exact same way as a newborn, as a toddler, as we grow in Christian faith. We say things that we think we've heard, but we're not open all the time to hearing correction on those things that we think we've heard. So as we look at this, there's a lot of people who have, I hesitate to say it that way. There are a lot of people who were born again but never seem to really get involved. I wrote that down that way, but the reality of it is there's a lot of people who think they're born again who never seem to get involved. But then you've got those who have gotten to the point of becoming a newborn babe in Christ, and then they get content to stay there. They like to become a spiritual couch potato, so to speak. See, our health depends on our input. And I know all too well what sitting on the couch and not doing work to keep your body in shape will do for you. It will balloon you up. It will make you feel less than you really are. In fact, it will absolutely destroy your health if you're not paying attention just to the little things that your body is trying to tell you. And the church is the same way. The church is the same exact way. If you are sitting on a pew and all you are doing is sitting on a pew, you may be a little bit of a spiritual couch potato, so to speak. So as we look at this today, basically what we need to understand is that we need to understand the word discipline. We need to understand what it means to serve properly. And this is why we're looking at this series. This is why we're really breaking some things down, why we're really diving in to Christianity and what it is. Because if we don't understand what it is, then folks, we're going to miss something along the way. I mean, just like last week, I talked about starting with the cornerstone. We build on the foundation, and we build in a way with something solid under us. And if it's not built on that foundation, on that cornerstone, then we need to take away the sides. We need to start all over again. Let's put the cornerstone in the right place and then move forward from there. Remember, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. That is Jesus Christ. We're building on that foundation. That is where the church should be built. So as we look at this today, we need to learn the basics of serving the Lord. I think a lot of it comes natural. I really do. I think that it's given to us through the Holy Spirit. And when we are within the Spirit itself, the Spirit will worship for us. The Spirit will do things for us. The Spirit will guide us through those opportunities. But I do think that sometimes we need to learn the language. Sometimes we need to be able to share the gospel. If we're just staying on the milk, then all we can share is the milk. We can only say what we know, right? Otherwise, if we try to go into a deep conversation, how many times have you ever talked with someone who says they're a Christian and you can tell from the moment go that their words do not make sense with the scripture? Because they're either A, their scripture came from what someone else told them it was, or B, their argument comes because they have taken parts out of it to fit a lifestyle they want to live. You see, this is where we're at today within the church. We're stuck on the milk so much that we forget that the meat says we're sinners. We're like, well, Christ would never send anyone to hell. God is a God of love. He would never send anybody to hell. Well, okay. I'm glad you got stuck on God is the God of love, who is a loving God, right? Yeah, that loving God will send someone to hell because the scripture says it. He told us he would. He told us that that's where, you know, it's heaven or hell. Those are the two options when life is done. He told us this. And he told us how to avoid being there. He told us the way to get to heaven. He has given us an example in Christ, but yet we got stuck on God is love. And while that's all well and good, did we forget the part where his love sometimes hurts? Did we forget the part where he sometimes criticizes his people? Did we forget the part where Moses didn't go into the promised land, even though it was promised to him, all because of what? Disobedience. You see, this is what we forget about God and his word, is that God is a very, very jealous God, but he is also a very loving God. God is a God of wrath, but he's a God of mercy. See, all of these descriptions do fit the same God. It doesn't mean they contradict with one another. So as we look at this today and we look at all of these things together, the goal of the church, the Big C church, the goal of every pastor that is in a pulpit on a Sunday morning should simply be this, that it is to train others, to show them what the scripture says and hopefully somehow discern and rightly divide the word. But there comes a time where we have to get beyond the milk. So we're going to. I mean, we really don't have an option in this. The Lord compels us to do these things, and this is where we are. We are getting beyond the milk. All right? We've got to get beyond the milk, or else we're just going to sit stagnant, and we're not going to do any good for anybody. We must begin to do something a little stronger. Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 12, it says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." All right, the writer of Hebrews is laying that all out there. There are other sections of scripture where Peter, where Paul, where all the apostles, I mean, where there's echoing of this same mentality. I just read one of them when we started out about that Peter shared, about how we're stuck in this newborn phase of life. We're stuck in this newborn phase of spirituality. Well, as we look at this, we're stuck in a day and age where we see the spiritual couch potato everywhere. We're stuck in a day and age where we see those that are more content sitting on a pew than getting up and doing anything active within the church. It's everywhere. It is epidemic. It is why mega churches exist in the way that they do. It is why ministry doesn't happen in some of the bigger churches in the country, because ministry doesn't happen to the ones that don't want to be fed. And you're getting there. All they want to do is just sit there and listen and then go and do their own thing. They're there to make themselves feel better. That is not a Christian. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that right now. Just because you go to church doesn't make you a Christian. It's about like walking into McDonald's and calling yourself a Big Mac. It's not the reality of life. You can't go into a Ford dealership and tell them you're an F-150. They're going to laugh at you. They'll call you crazy. They may even call the authorities and tell them to come remove you. Unfortunately, in the church, we don't do that. Sometimes we welcome them in and we tell people how good they are, and we nurture them along to nothing. Just because you're filling a spot on a pew on a Sunday morning does not mean that you are filling a spot in heaven when time is over. It does not mean that you are doing what is right in the eyes of the Lord. Because there will be many who say, "Lord, Lord," and he will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." See, there's a lot going on here. But as we look at it and as we break it down, we think about it in terms of health. It's like a heart condition, you know. A hardening of the arteries takes place, and then a lot more health concerns happen because of that. Well, it's almost like a hardening of attitudes. We allow ourselves to get so complacent and so dispersed within it all. Let's just look at some of these things and some of the confusion that takes place, because we start to see this spiritual thing happen where folks are really falling away. and we don't know how to nurture them back because we all have gotten stuck on the milk sometimes. But there's in words of the, you know, in terms of the heart, blockages that happen. Well, what happens when you have a blockage or a murmur or something? So let's look at some of these different things. There's blockages. You know, if you lay around long enough on the spiritual couch, spiritual muscles begin to become what? Useless. And if you sit around on a couch all day long and all you ever do, you're not exercising your muscle. If you get up from the bed, go straight to the couch and then go back to the bed, and that is your routine every day, every hour, every whatever, eventually your body's not going to, I mean, if that's all you're doing and you're not putting any work into, you know, whether you're feeding or not, you know, if you're eating and you're just gorging yourself on the same scripture all the time, if you're getting up in the morning and you're reading the same six verses and those are the verses that you carry with you throughout your day, or better yet, they're the only ones you know, because, well, why do I need to memorize scripture? I've got the word of God in my heart, John 3:16. Everybody knows that. Well, John 11:35 is only two words, so I'm going to memorize that one, right? Jesus wept, in case any of you didn't know. You know, and then there's the pray continually verse. Well, I do that, so I live that out. And I mean, I catch myself many times where I can quote something, but I may not get it right because I'm not as well versed as I think I should be sometimes. I get myself so wrapped up in the scripture sometimes, and I start to talk to people about it. I'm like, wow, I wish I could remember where that reference is. And I say something, and then I'm like, wait, that's not the verse. That is not at all what the verse really says. That is not at all what God's word is saying to me or to anyone else. And you have to back up, and you have to punt, basically. And you start over. And so we think about that with spiritual laziness, you know. Or spiritual heart murmurs. I mentioned heart murmurs. Basically, you know, if we're talking about the heart murmur, you just don't feel like doing anything. It's a leak. It's something that's not good for you. You know, we begin to doubt our own salvation. Maybe we start to question who we are in Christ. Or we get lazy. We just don't have time to serve the Lord because we just, well, you know, it requires effort. Or maybe, you know, what are some other health conditions? Strokes, where you start to, you know, a stroke affects your memory. A stroke affects your functionality. We're partially functional, but not all the time. We just don't want to, we don't want to overstep our bounds. We'll help here, but not here. You know, we just don't want to give it 100% because, well, nobody understands. And then our speech becomes slurred when it comes to scriptural things. Our body becomes a little bit less usable because we're not willing to give everything in.
I like that saying that says, "The Lord knows my heart."
He does.
What in the world does that mean? Because I never see you in church. So what do you mean the Lord knows your heart? What do? What do you put out? What do you bring in? You don't do nothing.
When speaking to the heart.
The Lord knows my heart.
Speaking of the heart, there's also the spiritual heart attack, and this is where we're going to spend a lot more time today, so thank you. this is where we're at right here, and I mean, as we look at and wind this down, spiritual heart attacks happen. What is a heart attack? It's when the heart has either overworked or it's just overwhelmed by the things that it's needing to do. It begins to beat out of rhythm. It begins to beat too fast, too strong, whatever it may be. Or it might just completely quit beating altogether. See, these are things that lead to the death of the body. And if we think on the spiritual heart attack front, what are the signs of a physical heart attack? What are the signs that they tell you to watch for when it comes to a heart attack? Well, number one, chest discomfort. Most heart attacks involve chest discomfort. Somebody will grab their chest. They'll start looking around, they have this look of fear on their face. And if it lasts more than a few minutes or goes away and comes back, there's uncomfortableness, there's pressure, there's squeezing, there's pain. There's different things that would lead you to believe, okay, I need to get them to the hospital, right? Well, spiritually speaking, This happens to people in the church every single day. This happens to people in the church all the time. The heart for God is weak. You know, some people's heart for God is weak, and you make them really uncomfortable by talking about how weak they are. You make them uncomfortable by talking about their weaknesses, and therefore they have a spiritual heart attack. They don't want to come. They don't want to hear the message because it makes them uncomfortable. It hurts them in their chest, so to speak. And they don't want to be here because they don't want to hear about how awful that they feel. Folks, if somebody tells you the truth out of the Word of God and it hurts your heart, it's not them who's wrong. Just because somebody told you the truth doesn't make them the bad guy. It means that they loved you enough to tell you the truth. That means that they're doing the job that they were called to do in ministry. That they are sharing with you a concern because you are not fully grounded where you need to be. And your heart's a little weak. And they can see that. And they're trying to share it with you. But instead, you're walking away because you're just not feeling it. You just don't want to be made uncomfortable. Folks, that is what is wrong with the American church today. The people have stood up. They have said, I feel uncomfortable. And the pastors have backed down and said, you know what? You're right. I can't offend you. I don't care if I offend you or not. I'm going to be completely honest with you. If I offend you and it's the Word of God that does the offending, then that's not on me. That's on you. If it's your heart that's weak because you're not fully living the life that God called you to live, and you feel uncomfortable because the Word of God spoke to you, is that really my fault? Am I responsible for your sin? I mean, last I checked, I couldn't die for your sin. I had to have a Savior die for mine. It's not my sin that's going to get you into heaven or hell, and it's not your sin that's going to do the same for me. See, we all are responsible for our own. And I don't care if I offend you or not. If I offend you, then the Word of God is working. Now, if I offend you personally and it's not in the Word of God, please talk to me. And I'll be more than happy to look it over and see what I figure out. But I can promise you, I'm going to try my best not to offend you. But if the Word of God offends you, then I am not going to apologize for that. See, there's discomfort that comes with the heart attack as well. Discomfort in the upper body, discomfort in the neck, the arm. We feel those things. There's pain that comes. And if you don't think that Christians have these symptoms, I want to just think about it for a moment. Try to get Christians to raise their hand or volunteer or do something for the church. Folks, we've spent the last 2 years asking for somebody to come in and help. We've got a great group of people here that do. But have you noticed how many haven't come in? Afraid they might have to actually do something. People are afraid of actually getting their hands dirty, of getting involved. Try to get people to put their back into work around the church. I mean, we've had a lot of folks step up over the last couple of weeks to get these things clean. We still got a lot of work to do probably. But you know what? We have a group that's willing to do it. And if you're serving, then we appreciate that. We appreciate the work you're putting in at the church. But are you doing what God's led you to do? Are you serving the way He wants you to? Are you willing to put yourself into it? This one might hurt a little bit. But try to get rid of the traditions of the church. I have struggled with that in ministry sometimes. I have seen churches who have split because somebody wanted to change something that was the way it was always done, but it wasn't scriptural. I have watched churches fall apart because somebody wanted to follow God's word. Well, that's not the way we've done it. Folks, if you're offended by tradition over scripture, there's a problem. You're on the brink. You're experiencing symptoms of a spiritual heart attack. And that can be a problem. As we look at that, there's other signs that might include breaking out in a cold sweat, nausea, or lightheadedness. All right, that happens in the church as well. Christians become lightheaded, and you can look into their eyes and see that no one's home. You look into their eyes and you see that they are not processing anything about what you've said. They are basically blowing you off. Mentally, they have tuned you out. Have you ever had those conversations? Have you ever felt like somebody literally was just standing there to appease you, but the words weren't going through their ears? Or if they were, they were a wind tunnel, and all they heard was a roar, and it was just going in one ear and out the other just as fast as it possibly could. See, if you want to doubt that we're having spiritual heart attacks, well, folks, if you are in the church today and you are experiencing any of these symptoms, you might be having a spiritual heart attack because you've not been where you think you should be, or where God thinks you should be, maybe. And you're in the very danger of losing your own soul. What does it profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul, right? That's what the scripture tells us. Well, here we are. I'm offering you the opportunities this morning. As we look at these signs and these wonders, there's a lot of things we can do to spiritually check up on ourselves. You know, if you want to get your health right and you want to reduce the heart attack, well, stopping smoking will reduce the chance of a heart attack for 50%, right? So we can talk about that. Well, somehow if we can get people to quit playing around with the fire of the world. If we can get people to quit playing with fire and really focus on who and what they are. This is where we talked about it this morning in Sunday school, in that you will be compelled. And there are some who will literally be invited to the banquet who have turned around and said, "Eh, it just doesn't mean that much to me. I don't have the right clothes. I don't have this. I don't have that. I'm not prepared to be." And those excuses can absolutely tear a church apart. Every time we come up with excuses as to why we're not good enough for God, or why we're not good enough for God to use us, well, let me remind you, Gideon didn't think he was good enough to be used by God. But what did Gideon do? He won a battle with 300 men. Okay, God won a battle with 300 men. Moses didn't feel he was good enough, so God sent Aaron to be his mouthpiece. Moses led the people out of Egypt. Abraham didn't feel he was good enough, and Abraham became the father of many nations. There are many throughout history who didn't feel like they were good enough, who didn't feel like they were even worthy to be called a child of God, and yet they found their way to be that child. See, here's where rubber meets the road. We can stop this playing with fire. We can lower our spiritual blood pressure. We can do all the things that we need to do to stop these things from happening. We can lower cholesterol. We can increase our physical activity. How do I mean all of this? What I basically am saying is this today. Folks, there's a lot you can do to stop a heart attack. And if we turn those things into physical, from the physical things into spiritual things, how do we do it? We get more active in the church. We do more. We reach out more. We build more. We become expansive. Does that mean that we're sitting here? No. It means that we're getting up and we're getting out. We're doing what Christ has called us to do, and that is to go and share and love one another. We become active. We can allow those things to happen. The blood pressure needs to come down. We need to stop getting so angry about the things that are not necessarily so spiritual. We need to stop allowing our blood to boil every time somebody comes in and they say something we don't agree with. Or we need to stop getting upset with just the fact that somebody has walked in off the street and we know their past. Because the Lord loves them too, and there's got to be a reason they came through that door. And if we judge them when they walk in the door because of who they are or who they were, and they walk back out that door, we've lost them. Folks, Christ didn't turn them away. We did. You see, we're in a situation right now where our lives speak volumes to others. Next week, we're going to continue this. We're going to continue looking at Hebrews, and we'll probably start in chapter 6, and we'll work our way into this. But folks, we need to get off the milk. We need to get into the meat. We need to understand that the milk is for the babies. The milk is for the babes in Christ. The milk is for the ones who are newborn. And if you have been a Christian for any time at all, and you're still on the milk, you need to reconsider a few things. Because if you've not graduated to the meat, your argument is dangerous. Your words can become harmful to others because you're only sharing the little good points here and there. Let me give you an example. Churches accepting lifestyles that are against Scripture because of love. I can love them. It doesn't mean that I have to let them in and let them live in a lie that they think that they can be accepted while living in that lie. Folks, sinner is not something to take lightly. Being a sinner is not something where we can sit back and watch it happen and not say something. If we are truly in the Word of God today, we need to understand that that sin needs to be addressed. However, it needs to be addressed lovingly. We don't just walk up to them, tell them they're going to hell and walk away. That is not spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity comes when we recognize the sin and we go to them and say, look, here's what God's Word says. I love you and I want you to see it because I care. But you need to be right with the Lord. And I lovingly tell you this morning. You need to be right with the Lord. If there is a sin in your life that you need to get rid of, if there's something that is keeping you from being 100% fully enveloped in this ministry that God has called our church to, whatever it might be, folks, we've got to be the workers that He's called us to be. We can't just pray for workers to come in. It starts with the workers here. If we want to see revival happen, revival has to start somewhere. I heard an evangelist say one time that if you want to see revival happen, sit in the floor, grab a piece of chalk and draw a circle around you. And that is where revival will start. Inside that circle, because it will start with you. It will start when you know that God is working in your heart. And it may start with one. You go and you revive one. And then that one goes and revives one while you revive another. And before long, it has exploded and become something grand that we can watch happen and we can give no glory but other than God. Because God is the one that is doing the work through His people. See, we're building up to revival. We're building up to something great. We're building up to see where God takes us, and God is going to deliver. The question is, are you with us? Are you on board? Are you willing to put your back into the labor that needs to be done? Are you willing to work as He's called you to work? Because I don't know how He's dealt with your heart, but I know how He's dealing with mine. I know how He's dealing with my struggles and my pain and my suffering. And I consider those sufferings to be trials. And those trials develop perseverance. And that perseverance can only lead me farther when it comes to God and the work that He has called me to do. But who's with me? Who's with us? Who's with Newland Christian Church today? Because we need to be on the road. If we're not out sharing the gospel, if we're not out inviting them in, how are they going to know that the door is open on Sunday? How are they going to know that they can come here? How are they going to know that they can hear God's word here? How are they going to know if we don't tell them? Folks, we need to tell them today. If you have a decision that you need to make, if you have something that you need to get off your chest, open up. Allow God to speak through you. Allow God to speak to you. Open yourself up to the call that He's placing in your heart and allow it to come. I mean, He's not calling you to be anything special. He's just calling you to be His. And then through that, allow the Holy Spirit to minister through you. It's really not that hard of a task that He's called you to do. Jesus did the hard part. Jesus went to the cross. Jesus died on that cross. Jesus gave His life for you, and He gave His life for me. And all the Lord has ever compelled us to do is come just as we are, just where we are. He's just compelled us to come. So if you have a decision to make, come as we sing. We're going to sing one verse, 201. Please stand. We're going to sing first verse of Just As I Am.